Corinthians then, and 15, and we'll hook what we're going to see on one verse, and that verse is verse 43. So let's turn to it, and we'll try and ground ourselves then in verse 43. 1 Corinthians 15, 43, talking about the body. Paul says, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. And then the next sentence, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. And we're going to take that last phrase of the second sentence, where Paul writes that the body is raised in power. So we're going to be thinking about how your body, my body, the bodies of those we love and who have passed, how their bodies will be raised in power. That's the theme for today. We'll begin with the question that Paul asks in verse 35. He says there, some will say, how are the dead raised up? And then, with what body do they come? Now, there are two questions there. The first is, how? How are the dead raised up? How is it possible for a dead body to be raised? And then the second question is more specific. It says, what would a raised body look like? So you can see it there in verse 35, and with what body do they come? So let's start there, and then we'll center on verse 43. Let's ask God to help us as we do that then. Heavenly Father, we come to ask your blessing upon what we are seeking to do here. Lord, there are no limits to the understanding of your word if we have your help, if your spirit is active in our minds and in our hearts. And so, our God, we need those ears to help us hear. We need those eyes to help us see, that we might be able to hear and understand your word. So we ask our God that you would speak to us, and that you would help us, and that you would glorify yourself in showing us what it is, our God, that you will do for those you love. So hear our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So are you all right for a recap then? We are thinking about the theme of power. We are thinking about the power of God. And 2 weeks ago, we saw that the power of God raises the dead. We said, you remember, that every human being is dead in sins. That's our condition, our natural condition. And then God, by his power, raises us from the dead and brings us to faith in Jesus Christ. So those who are not Christians in our families and our communities, they are dead. That's the message of the Bible, dead in sins. So it is God alone in his power who raises the dead. And in raising a dead person, just as he raised Jesus from the dead, that person then is given faith to believe in Jesus. So you and I, we've already been raised from the dead spiritually if we are in Christ. Last Sunday was more difficult, I thought, because we were thinking about the power of God in our lives as Christians. And the power of God rests on weakness. So God sets about making us weak through circumstances or age or time. We become weak. And God, in his providence, brings us to weakness. We don't like it, and we ask God to change it, and he may graciously choose to remove certain weaknesses, but overall, God's purpose is to make us weak. And then the power of God rests on us in our weakness. So our weakness glorifies God Because he then, in his power, is sufficient for our weaknesses. Now, that's not easy. And I felt last Sunday very weak as I stood out here trying to explain it. I felt weak in the action of speaking last Sunday. So weakness is something that God, in a sense, wants for us, that his power may rest upon us. Now, what we're doing this morning then is we're going to the end of the process. We start at the beginning, how we are raised. We go to the middle, which is how we are weak. And then at the end, we've got the subject of the resurrection from the dead. The end, if you like, of the whole thing. So let's start with this question. And I want to ask you this question. Have you imagined the life that is to come? Have you spent any time at all in trying to visualize what the next life will look like? And if you have, you've probably thought, what does heaven look like? So you've tried to imagine maybe, heaven itself. This question asks you, what will you look like in the world to come? So have you ever asked that? What will you look like in heaven itself? And it seems as if this question isn't asked very often by us as Christian people. We like to imagine the place of heaven, but we don't think much about the person. What will it be like for me? What will I look like? And especially, have you ever asked yourself, what will your body look like in heaven? Because you will have a body. It's called in these verses a glorified body. It's called a resurrected body. But you will have, in the new heavens and the new earth, you will have a new body. Now, what will that body look like? And that's what Paul sets out to tell us. And he wants to tell us that it's a body without limits. And all the limits that now exist that affect our bodies, all those limits will be removed in the new heaven and the new earth. So it's a body without limits. And if you're kind of serious enough, you can read these verses and you can work out what the limits are that will be removed in the new heavens and the new earth. And I can see, you probably can see more, but I can see four limits that are removed from our bodies when we go to the new heavens and the new earth. Now, maybe I'll spell those out for you in a second or two, but let's come back to the question. So first of all, verse 35, how are the dead raised up? So this is the question, how can a dead body, maybe a dead body that has completely returned to the dust, so there's hardly anything left, maybe a body that was burned, a body that, I don't know, in some way or another has returned to nothing, or just a dead body lying there, recently deceased. How is it that such a thing can be raised from the dead? And what Paul does from verse 36 down to verse 42, I think, what he tells us is that the problem with that question is our limits. The limits of our understanding, the limits of our experience, the limits of our knowledge, the limits of our knowledge of the universe in which we live, the God that we love, it's our limits that lead us to ask that question. So look at verse 36. He says, foolish one. Now, what he means by that is he's not insulting us if we ask the question. He's using the word foolish to tell us that the problem is the limits of our mind. We are limited by our experience in this world that we live in. So we mustn't impose all the limitations that we live under on the question of the resurrection from the dead. So that's how he deals with the first question. And then he's much more interested in the second question, verse 35. With what body shall we be? What will the body look like? So let's forget the first question. Let's focus on the second one. What body will you have? What will it look like? So as I see it, and here are the four limits that are removed in the new heaven and the new earth. The first limit, there is no death. So limit number one, that which limits us now, that's gone. There will be no death for the body that will be raised up. The glorified body in the new heavens and the new earth has no death. Second limit that's gone, it has no sin. So the sin that now limits us, limits our brain power, the sin that now limits us in day-to-day life, that limit has also gone in the new heavens and the new earth. So death has gone. Sin has gone. And of course, as you go through those verses, you'll see that the third limit that has gone is the limit of time. So there is no constraint, there is no passing of time, no aging. That limit has also gone. And then what he says, let's turn back to our verses. What he says then, the fourth limit, and that's the one I want to focus on, the fourth limit, there is no limit on the physical. Physical limitations have gone. So come with me then to verse 43, but I want to add verse 44. So we'll read both. This body then, this body with its limits, the limit of time, the limit of sin, the limit of age, this body now that's so limited is going to be sown in dishonor and it'll be raised in glory. It's going to be sown, this body, in weakness. It's going to be raised in power. And then verse 44. Do you notice this? It is sown a natural body. So that's what we have now. Made after Adam, we have a natural body. But listen to the next bit. It is raised a spiritual body. It's a spiritual body. It's not just spirit. It's a spiritual body. So it's physical and spiritual, a spiritual body. So the body in the resurrection, the glorified body, is raised by the power of God from the dust to a spiritual body. A body then that can be touched and seen, a body that can eat, but also has no limits of the natural. It's a spiritual body. And that means that spiritual body is free from the limitations that we now live under. So as a physical, natural body, there's certain things I can't do. There's certain places I can't be. There are certain restrictions on my physical body. All of those will be abolished in the spiritual body that will be ours in glory. And you get glimpses of this on the resurrection day. When Jesus was raised from the dead, Do you remember those accounts that we have of him appearing to the disciples who were scared to death, huddling in a locked room? And Jesus appears in the midst of them. And he says, Thomas, feel my hands, feel my side. It is me. He eats the fish. He eats the bread. He's there present among them. And then he's gone from among them. It's a spiritual body. A body that has all the effects and the limitations of sin removed from it, glorified and purified and spiritual. Now, that's what Paul is asking you to imagine yourself raised. You're still yourself. It's still your body. It's your physical reality raised, but spiritual. So that those limits have gone. That's Paul's teaching you in these verses. So it's a body without limitation. And then go back to verse 43 and notice the key words that are our text for today. Verse 43, he says, the body is sown in weakness. And then he says, it is raised in power. Now, I first thought that Paul was saying here, the body is raised by power. It is raised, say, by the power of God. Well, of course, that's right. That body that's just a few bits of dust in the ground will be raised by the power of God, just as God made Adam out of the dust of the ground in Genesis. God will take those little bits, those remnants of my physical body, and he'll raise it from the dead by his power. That's not what Paul says here, though. He doesn't say, does he? Raised by power. Take a look again. What does he say? Can you see it in verse 43? Raised in power. The body will be a powerful body. It'll be a body marked, characterized, defined by power. So if now my body is weak and we live in weakness and we embrace weakness, we rejoice in weakness, we are made weak. That's what Paul says. Who's not weak and I am not weak? We are made weak and this body is characterized by weakness. In glory, the raised body will be characterized by power. Power in contrast to weakness. So weakness is now, power is what is to come. And that raised body then, with a spiritual body, without limitations, is a power body. Now, if this was a Bible study, and we could range around a bit, I could go to other texts. I don't really want to do that. I think it's hard to keep attention in a sermon, isn't it? And it's much harder if I then say, right, go and look at this verse, let's look at that verse. So I want to summarize some other verses in Peter and in Paul. And I want you to understand the sense of a power raised in power body. I want you to understand what that means by, first of all, summarizing what Peter says. Peter tells us that we will be partakers of the divine nature. We will share in God's divine nature. So 2 Peter 1, he calls us fellowshippers or shareholders or stakeholders in God's nature. So his nature will be given to our raised bodies, so that we will then have a body that reflects the nature of God, the divine nature. And so what Paul does when he tries to explain this is he says, think of it like this. We were made in Adam. So we share Adam. We are living Adams made out of the dust of the ground. That's what we are now. We are men and women of dust. We've just read it. And we live our lives as men of dust. And we age because we are dust. And we are weak because we are dust. And we die because we are dust made after Adam. And then Paul says, the Son of God came from heaven and he took Adam's nature to himself. So the Son of God became a man of dust, just like us. So born in Bethlehem, living in Nazareth, his ministry in Judea and Israel, there he is, the Son of God, a man of dust, like us, sharing our nature. So he was tempted and tested and tired and hungry and weak, like us. We said this last week, didn't we? So the Son of God, taking the nature of Adam, the second Adam, with the Spirit of God empowering, he lived as a man of dust. So he took our image. And have you ever heard of such a thing? God taking the image of his creatures? Because that's what Jesus did. The Son of God took our image and lived among us. And so Paul says, right, he did that so that we then will share his image. He takes our image first so that we then might be made like him. The Son of God becomes a man of dust and then he's raised from the dead and he glorifies our human nature so that we might be made in his image. And that's what it means to have a power body. The word power means glory. It's sharing in the glory of God as we see it in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's try and spot those verses, shall we? In chapter 15. Did you notice them earlier? Let's see if we can find them. So turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and the two verses are 48 and 49. This is Paul's way of explaining it. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. So that's us then. That's what we are now. As is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And here's verse 49. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. That's what we shall be like. And that is raised in power. That's what it looks like. That's what it means. Sharing the divine nature. Now, I'm now going to contradict myself and do what I said I wouldn't do. Let's look at another verse, shall we? But turn backwards to Romans and look at Romans 8 for a minute and you'll see exactly what I mean. So Romans 8, and the verse to look at is verse 30. Paul writes, moreover, whom God predestined, these he also called. And these he called, that these he justified. Whom he justified, these he glorified. So this is the new heavens, the new earth, the new body, its glory. And then in verse 29, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren, we will be conformed to his image. That's what you will look like. You will have a body that is glorified. You will be without limits. So no sin, no death, no time. It'll be a spiritual body, so recognizable. We'll know each other in glory. We'll be able to recognize, listen to, touch, hold, speak to each other. It'll be a spiritual body, glorified, and we will then be sharing in God's own nature. We will partake of it. So if you like, God will, and I don't know what word here, God will give, share his very nature to you and I. And we will then be like Jesus, and we will be his brothers and sisters. We will be forever in his presence, and we will be dwelling in the Father's house, in that place prepared for us, and we will then be in that new heavens. That's the idea here. And I guess what I'm saying to you is this. Paul wants us to be very clear, not only about what we will look like, but be clear about the order. First comes weakness. First is dust. And then after weakness, after dust, comes resurrection and glory. So using this analogy of a seed, you and I are now living the life of a seed. That's what it is, in effect, Paul is saying. And just like seeds look like nothing, easily ignored and dismissed, we are in that stage of things. We are in the seed. And if that second stage is to happen, glory, spiritual bodies, sharing in God's own nature, if that second stage is to happen, then the seed must be sown. So our bodies must go into the ground. That must happen. For some of you, it's happened to those that you love. It must happen. If it doesn't happen, how can there be the glory that is to follow? And so from, where are we? In 1 Corinthians 15, from that, those verses, he spells out what this means. Let me find 1:15 again. So from verse 40, 41, he's spelling this out to you. Don't resist it. Don't resent it. Don't be depressed by it. Don't be discouraged. The seed has to be sown. And it will be sown in weakness and dishonor. Look at the words that he uses there. It'll be sown in all these ways. But following that will come glory. And then typical Paul, having laid all this out for us up as far as verse 49, he then says, now listen, I've got one more thing to say. One more thing on this subject. So what does it look like? What does your body look like? This is what it looks like. What do you have to look forward to? This is what you have to look forward to. And then he says one more thing. Let me tell you something nobody knows at this point. Behold, I tell you a mystery. He's revealing something for the first time. And he's the first person in the history of humanity to have known this secret, because God showed it to him. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all be sown into the ground. The mystery is this, says Paul. There will be a moment when the trumpet will sound. And when that sound is heard, there'll be no need for any more bodies to be sown into the ground. No more need for death, because when that trumpet sounds, the sound of the trumpet abolishes death. And so because the trumpet sound blasts death out of the universe, those who are still living in weakness, those who are alive in weakness and dust, they have to be transformed without going into the ground. Because there's no ground. Death is gone. So they have to be transformed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, they have to go through that whole process of being buried, waiting in the earth, and coming up from it again. That has to go in a twinkle, so that then they too can enter into the glory that's about to be revealed. And that's the mystery. So those of us who live now in dust and weakness, we have the prospect of being sown into the ground in dishonor, in corruption, in mortality. That's right. That's what we are facing. And that's what's going to be our futures unless the trumpet sounds. And if it sounds and death is no longer, then we too will be transformed in an instant and in a moment. So that's the power of God in our futures, raising our bodies, transforming them, setting them free of limits, making them bodies of power, bodies that are spiritual, sharing the nature of God in our very bodies for all eternity in the presence of God. So, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Let's pray.